preach openly a whole lot. I don't speak openly. Usually I'm teaching. I'm teaching or I'm running groups. So to be in a position where I just get to share openly and talk, that's kind of fun. A little different. First part of this, I guess I have to introduce myself. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Kenneth LaWarren Merritt. I'm also known as the infamous guru and knight in shining armor. It's kind of fun, right? Thinking about that, I want to ask you guys a question. Who are you? When I meet you, how do you introduce me? Or how do you introduce yourself to me? What are you thinking about when we meet? Do these things go through your head? Today's, as I was praying and writing out, normally if I am going to speak, I have everything written out a week in advance or more. I was writing yesterday. I'm writing this morning. I have so much to pour out. I have so much to hear that I want to hear from you. I get very excited whenever I have the opportunity to be around brothers and sisters. But I also get very anxious. Introducing myself as the infamous guru or knight in shining armor is fun. I can show up and rescue the maiden. I can fight a dragon. I can go on adventures. I can tell you your future. I can tell your past. I can tell you your struggles. But I never have to reveal myself. I really like that. You see, I used to have an issue of remembering people's names. Because whenever I would meet you, I would come over and I'd say, "Hi, I'm Kenny." And inside my head, what was your name? I didn't hear a word she said because inside my head, I'm thinking about how do I look? Is she going to see my haircut? Is she going to be impressed? What does she think of me? Do I look foolish? Do I look stupid? Do I look... All these things are going on inside my head whenever I would meet somebody. Has anybody ever experienced that? You see somebody... I know it. You see somebody walking towards you, or you know, Dave comes along and says, "Hey, I got somebody I want you to meet." It's like, oh, do I look okay? Why? Why do we do those things? A living stone. God told me that I am as a living stone. Cornerstone. Do I believe that? Is that part of my identity? Looking at... I'm going to be all over the place. This is kind of fun. Looking at trying to figure out my identity, I come in here and I want to know yours. Because I really hate seeing any brother or sister of mine not walking in grace. A grace place is fun to be at, right? When you come in, you feel loved, you feel accepted. Tom and I were chilling in the back and just, you know, just acknowledging, hanging out in the back, looking at this type of family compared to some of the churches that we've grown accustomed to. You see connection, you see people talking, eating, you see fellowship, you see community. It hasn't always been that way. So coming into a grace place, do you leave here still in grace? Do you identify or know your identity? Do you identify who you are? Thinking about it, what do you base that on? How do you know who you are? By your title? Pastor Dave? Oh, Pastor Dave, very good to meet you. By your education? Hi, I'm Kenny, I have a PhD. Stolen that from him, by the way. By the money you make, clothes you wear, that you're a man or that you're a woman. What's your identity based in? You see, all of those things I have learned that I am basing my identity in how I'm seen, not who I am. That terrifies me. Let's see, all the kids are gone, aren't they? You see, there's an issue. I was looking for little ones. There's an issue inside of me or inside of us, the way that we work, that whenever I seek my validation from you, my worth from you, I will never experience fulfillment. And in doing that, I can never truly experience grace. It's the way our brain works and our emotions. Dave and I have been talking a lot about something called a triunity, or I keep messing it up and say the trifecta, but it's actually a trichotomy. Actually, Shannon, can I borrow you for a second?
Sure. All right.
Uh-oh. All right. My identity, where does it rest? Am I truly a living stone? Have I built my foundation on Christ? I mean, one of the first passages that Brother Dwayne shared was, I no longer live. It is Christ that lives in me. The life I live in this body, I live by faith in the Son of God. That's where I'm getting my identity, my love, my joy. It's not dependent upon me. You see, when I depend upon me, can you put your hand on my shoulder? And any conflict, anything that doesn't happen the way that I want it to, go ahead and push for me. I fall. Now, what if I face these trials and tribulations boldly? And she puts her hands on my chest. Go ahead, put both of them up there. And I resist. Go ahead and push, 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 push. I still fall. Whenever I'm wondering, how do I look? And she doesn't give me the response that I want. I'm just thinking it. I want a response. If I'm thinking it, I promise you, I want a response. And I also promise you this. If you're thinking it, if you have a question, you're looking for an answer. And here is a scary reality. When you don't get the answer you want, what do you feel? Do you even know how to identify what you feel? So I come in and I'm like, oh, Shannon, hey, how are you? She didn't notice that I got my hair cut. She didn't respond the way that I expected her to respond. So emotionally, what happens? She pushes, and I stumble. Thank you very much. That happens every time we have an expectation, even if it's subconscious. We feel disappointment in some way or another. Disappointment breathes. It has a life on its own. When I did not receive affirmation, what happens? Has anybody ever experienced this?
Yeah.
Okay, just checking. Just checking. There's I see a copy of the book, The Cure, down there. There's a term that Dave used with me, true face. I've walked around for years talking about, just take your mask off, get naked, get raw, be who you are. Wow. Right? And he comes in and he's a little bit more gentle, a little bit more loving, a whole lot more grace than I have. And he starts talking about being true-faced. I'm like, oh man, I'm running around telling people to get naked and be raw. I'm not being very considerate of where they are because I'm too busy pushing my own insecurities out upon them. Isn't that kind of fun? So again, who are you? What's your identity and what do you base it on? I remember coming to Christ and the environment that I was in. Well, I am a child of God and He loves me because the Bible tells me so. I didn't have a relationship. I didn't have intimacy. I started getting this knowledge coming in. All this knowledge. People would share this, people would share that. Well, you need to do this and you need to do that. Okay, absolutely. How? Because inside of me, I was still anxious. I could present well. I'm not that small. You know, I've read a book or two. Maybe two. I can fake it pretty good. But inside, I'm still feeling anxiousness, unsureness, and I'm still looking at you to validate me. Whether it's, again, how do we receive that validation? How many of you are parents? Awesome. Look around. Look around the room. I want you to see this. See? Connectivity. Do you receive your identity from being a parent? I love showing up and bragging about my children. I think it's a lot of fun. But what happens if somebody doesn't respond the way that I expected them to? It does. It hurts. It takes away from my, I don't know, confidence somehow because I have a perceived expectation of validation. Isn't that a fun way to say that? A perceived expectation of validation. I'm still looking for significance in my title in some way. So I tell people what I do for a living. I hang out with people and talk all day. Sometimes I can put a title to it if I really am looking for something, but usually it's just I get to hang out and talk with people. Get to learn who they are and love them right where they are. hopefully even feel some love in there. But what happens when I start making that transition from my title of being a father, being a champion of this, or a scholar of that, or a knight in shining armor, and I start recognizing that any validation I receive is a bonus. I'm not looking for it. There's a transition that takes place. How does that happen? Think about your walk with Jesus. Think about the Holy Spirit. Again, going back to the scripture, I no longer live, it is Christ that lives in me. Is there a triunity that has taken place? You see, whenever I go back to that instability of not receiving what I expected, that disappointment throws me off balance. Anxiousness begins to settle. I start then grasping, and this is the human mind. Whenever I'm talking about I'm really talking about all of us as humans. This is our natural man, as we would say, or the Adamic nature. I start becoming anxious and I start looking to compare myself, to again validate myself. Is somebody not dressed as well as I am? Ooh, that picks me up a little bit. Somebody not give the right answer? Ooh, that picks me up a little bit more. Kind of white, kind of interesting, isn't it? Then I come walking in here and I see a man with guns. Oh, man, I got to go start all over. What's up with that? You know, I got to shave my head, put a nice buff on there. Shine it up. Come in, I see Steve with a new haircut. Oh, what's up with that? I got to start all over again. It's this constant battle instead of getting up in the morning. Father, thank you. Oh, let me love somebody. I'm getting up in the morning. What should I wear? How should I look? What exciting thing is going to happen to me today? You guys know who Piglet is, right? Winnie the Pooh, Piglet? Okay. Pooh's kind of cool about it. Pooh gets up. I'm hungry. I like that. He's not looking for that validation. But I always did, even as a Christian. When I accepted Christ, it took me about 7 years of this head knowledge and walking around with this armor on and presenting, but I never knew who He was. There was no intimacy. There was no true submissiveness. To learn to submit, do I look like I submit? I mean, think about it. And I dressed down today. Should have came in here in leather, jeans, and boots. What's up? How do we submit? Do we even have any idea of what it means? I didn't. Submissive to me was a punk doormat back there. That's what the word equated in my head. Because I got my identity from the world. I also got my beliefs and my hope and my faith from the world. So for me to be submissive means I'm a punk, I'm a doormat, I'm soft. How do I change that? How do I read these words written in a book that was written by a bunch of dudes a couple of thousand years ago, and even the first half of it was even longer than that, that had no Google. You know, they didn't have Professor Google anyway. He could not do a search engine anywhere. And they're going to write this stuff out. So they're giving me examples in life. Most of it I can't understand. And then whenever I hear the word submit, well, whatever, I'll be nice. You know? But submit? Oh, I don't think so. So this 7 years of this journey of just fighting and wrestling, you know, just this challenge. And I felt this turmoil going in because there was a separation or a segregation inside of me. I didn't understand that there could be a unity or a peace inside of me. I had never experienced that. There was always a conflict. I was continuously looking for validation instead of receiving grace of who I already am. Do you hear the difference? Do you hear the conflict? Even as a Christian, even after receiving Christ, being laid out and weeping for days, just pouring all this garbage, all this pent-up stuff that I carried, all the judgment against myself, all the condemnation and the hatred that I carried, just ripping out of me, literally weeping like a baby, I still did not have any idea of intimacy. I wasn't there. Unfortunately, the people who I was hanging around with, no matter how good their intentions were, they weren't there either. So I came to a place here in Bradenton. I came to a church and some stuff is happening. I'm walking around. I'm kind of kicking, you know, the dirt and upset, stressed. I want to be discipled. I want somebody to teach me how to be a man of God. So I go to a class. Whoa! And there's a guy there with a big podium, right? And there's four of us. And he is all over the Bible. He closes the Bible and leaves. I'm like, okay, I guess this is what I'm supposed to do to become a Christian man. I'll sit in here, I'll take a bunch of notes, because I have no idea where the scriptures are in the first place. And he keeps telling me, I do, you know where this is, right? And I feel like an idiot. And I have no idea what he's saying. So I go home and I study and I spend this time. And that began to do a little bit of something. But then the pastor of the church comes over to me and he sees the frustration. I tell him, why isn't there a men's ministry? Why isn't there somebody here to teach me how to be a man? I want to be a man. Help me grow up. And he kind of looks at me and he's nice and calm and passive and sweet and meek. And, and he says, what do you call God? You call him God. You ever call him father or dad? No. You got daddy issues. What do you mean call him dad? So you might want to think about that. You might want to pray about that. So I did. Another weeping fest. I turned into a cupcake. Tears are flowing. Hearts opening up. This bridge is being so mended together between my mind and my heart. This presence truly is wrapping his arms around me. When I was still and I began to understand what the word submit meant, I felt loved. I never truly felt loved. I had two children. I had a mother. I have siblings. I have friends. I had a knowing of loving, sort of, to a decent level. But I never knew what it meant to feel loved. So alone, still, and asking permission, can I call you Father? I felt loved. Everything changed. The Bible no longer was a book of basic instructions before leaving Earth. It no longer was a history book of examples. It was a living word of my Father. Scriptures changed from information to an intimate conversation. Amen. The knowing and the essence of my loving Father reached into my heart and held me. I see that in brothers and sisters all the time. I can see it in their face when they talk about someone. I can see it and hear it and smell it in their presence when they reach out to someone, when they show up in a room. And it's beautiful because these brothers and sisters that have experienced that, looking around and seeing and smelling their presence, the essence of God, even when they're facing trials, even when little itty-bitty women are pushing them around, or the IRS, or the government, or the state of jobs, or Do I have enough to buy bread so I can make my son sandwiches this week? No matter what it is, you can still smell the fragrance of God. That's living in self-grace, and that was a gift. So my journey obviously changed from kicking everything and fighting all the time to getting excited and passionate. Then I kicked everybody and fought with them. I used to kick Tom a lot. Just because I could. No. Everything changed. That focus changed. My identity and how I found or where I received my identity changed. There's a scripture Jesus is teaching, and he's talking about, if you hear my words and you apply them, it's like a wise man building his house on a solid foundation, on a rock. No matter what storm hits it, it will stand firm. Do you know what home he's talking about? You. We can't control the weather. We can't control hurricanes. We can't control the economy. We have no control over those things. What we do have is an opportunity to find joy and peace no matter what hits us. Does that make sense? When I am not in a state of joy or peace, I begin to ask why. I used to blame everyone. Well, she didn't notice my haircut. He didn't notice my ability to speak. I read a book, and I wasn't acknowledged. And it's his fault for not acknowledging me. Or it's your fault for not responding the right way when I was sharing. Or whenever I introduced myself, you weren't in awe of my absolute presence. So I felt less than. These are all battles. This anxiousness that takes 0.08 seconds to happen. Now, what's really wild is Jesus kind of calls us out on this. Points it out in the book of John. He's hanging out, talking, and he's like, look, I don't receive my glory from a human being. But I see you guys do. You're not going to accept me, the Father who sent me. But you're going to accept validation from one another. You're going to accept your glory from each other. Man, you don't know the love of God. It's not what it is. But then he turns right around right after. He says, look, I'm not judging you. I'm not condemning you to my Father. He says that right afterwards to affirm, this is normal. You were created for intimacy. You were created for relationships. So it's very normal for us to seek it from one another. But that's not what it's about. We're missing out. I mentioned the term trichotomy earlier, the triunity. If you're hungry, now there's three parts to us. We have our mind, or we have our spirit, we have our soul, and we have our body. Let's just use those three. Spirit, soul, and body. Okay? Let's say the body is hungry. What do you do? Feed it. If you're tired, what do you do? If you're cold? If you're wet? Get dry. Absolutely. So if the body needs something, you feed it, give it, take care of it, whatever it is that it needs. How about the spirit? How do you feed that? What's its need? Do we even know? Where's my identity? Where's my worth? You see, in psychology, there is the, what they call the will to power, or there's the pleasure section, or the will to pleasure, or there's even the will to meaning. Give me meaning in life. See, all three of those in psychology tell us that we get a sense of peace or fulfillment. But that's not true. I've discovered that I can give somebody power and they can still be in discord, not at peace. I can give somebody pleasure and they can still be resentful or fearful. I can give somebody meaning and they can still feel very empty. I love being a dad. I love being a teacher. So I'm a dad. Ha ha. My son doesn't do so good in school. Oh, I'm a horrible father. So I lose my identity. Gosh. That doesn't sound right, does it? But that's what psychology teaches us. Or that's what man teaches us. So what happens whenever we hang out with Jesus a little bit? What happens whenever we're spending some time with the Holy Spirit? What happens whenever we're spending intimate time with our Father and we're actually learning a different pattern of looking at things? It works. We begin to rest in an identity that's not fulfilled by you, or my worth is no longer based on what I can do, just who I am. Because I'm loved as a child with grace, with intention, with passion. I am beloved. That's a neat essence. That's a neat truth and reality to begin to rest in. Now, the purpose of knowing my identity. What does all this mean? The purpose of knowing my identity allows me to rest. Yes. How about you? See, those first 7 years of being a Christian and learning to be a good boy, sort of, there was no identity because I still didn't see myself as a child. I saw myself as an individual in a world with a bunch of other individuals that happened to believe in a God or a deity that created everything. Whoop, whoop. That was it. The book wasn't personal. It was a book. The Bible had no essence to it. It had a bunch of history, a bunch of rules, a bunch of guidelines, a bunch of directions. It didn't have meaning to me yet. It was just instructions. That transformation of becoming intimate and receiving the identity that you are my child and I love you. You are precious to me. And these instructions or these guidelines are just me sharing with you so that you have the best life that you can today. So that you have growth, wisdom, brought to a point of perfection, experience love, experience joy, experience peace, kindness, gentleness. I have this fruit that I want you just to dive face first into. No matter what the situation is, count it joy. Sing out. Because I love you that much. That only happened when my identity changed. When I started hearing my Father speaking to me from a position of love. You also, as living stones, are being built into what? A royal priesthood. Offering up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to Christ Jesus, or acceptable to God through Christ Jesus. A royal house. I'm a house, I'm a temple. Because I'm loved. Yes. The essence of his words leaped out. I no longer live, yet it is Christ that lives in me. What does that mean? That means I'm not ever alone. Amen. Have any of you ever felt alone? Yeah. Have any of you ever felt unheard? Like no one was listening? Like nobody valued what you had to say? That doesn't feel good. I became hard being alone. I experienced what I was told was a sojourn, to where I just hardened and built this fortress around me of hardness and resentment, and I was closed off to emotions to the best of my ability. So what emotions I felt were raw, very limited, and very primal. And that's all I tried to feed because I didn't feel heard. I didn't feel validated or valued. I didn't feel loved. And my world wasn't loving me the way that they're supposed to. See, it's your fault.
Well,
recognizing this, seeing this, embracing this, and learning to trust. You know, we talk about nobody goes to the Father except for through Christ. But do we also know that Christ tells us very clearly, he says, no one comes to me unless the Father calls them? When we're called, and I was called, I didn't hear it for a long time. I didn't understand it because I didn't take the time to stop. I didn't take the time to meditate, which is to go over his scriptures. I didn't take the time in silence of being still, my ADD or my ADHD, whatever I justified my movement on, allowed me not to be still. I didn't like it. It wasn't comfortable. Count it all joy when I face trials of many kinds. What are you, insane? I do everything I can to avoid discomfort. Even today, I get too uncomfortable, man, I'm going to Ben and Jerry's. I like comfort. So I started doing those things. I started spending that time, and things began to change. Scripture begins to speak to me. Anybody ever read 1 Corinthians 13? All about love, right? Anybody ever read it personally? Think about it. Love is. Love's kind, right? Gentle. Okay. Doesn't seek. Isn't self-seeking. What happens whenever you take it to a position of, Father, thank you so much for the times that you have empowered me and gifted me to be kind. Thank you so much, Heavenly Father. Thank you so much, Dad, for allowing me to be gentle. Thank you, Father, for the times that I'm not rude. Do you ever see yourself as love? When you recognize that it truly is the essence and the very presence and the physical indwelling of the Holy Spirit inside of you, you start to feel that peace. What do you do with it? For myself, my seeking identity from you began to dissipate. I still get anxious. I get excited. I get passionate. Sometimes I get a little nervous. Ooh, hope I don't make a fool of myself. Hope I don't make a fool of Dave. Well, no, I do hope I make a fool of Dave. But there's a peace that is more tranquil, more overwhelming, more present than anything I've ever experienced in my life. So when he asked me to speak again, or actually told me I was, I'm praying. I'm like, okay, Father, what do you want me to share? What can I share? Man, I got my notes. I wrote everything down. Obviously, I don't remember them because what I'm sharing isn't on there. And I wrote them down, and I'm excited, and I'm like, okay. But it kept coming back to my heart about identity. It kept coming back. Is there a grace, a self-grace inside of you? I'll tell you another quick story, real quick. Everybody knows Progressive Auto Insurance. Now, this is fun. This is my ADD, so try to, you know, be patient with me. Progressive Auto Insurance. I'm going to change auto insurance. Call Progressive. They're like, absolutely. They send me a doohickey. Technical term. It plugs into my car. And now I'm a redneck, so this is cool. All right, this is Buck Rogers stuff to me. So they send me the... They send me this doohickey, it plugs into my car, and I leave it in there, and they actually have a computer readout of how I drive my vehicle. They tell me how fast I accelerate, how quickly I stop, and how often and what times I drive my vehicle. By this, they have a standard, and they are going to determine whether they're going to lower my auto insurance or not. And since I have a motorcycle, and that's only plugged into my car, they lowered my auto insurance. They have no idea what I did on my bike. With that... Do I have the same opportunity? Absolutely. Do I have a diagnostics to look at me? Where am I at? Absolutely. I can go over to Dad, my Heavenly Father, Papa, what's up? I'm kind of tripping here. I'm upset or I'm anxious. I'm frustrated. I'm fearful. Whatever. Pick something. What is something that you experience that's not very comfortable? And then I look at what he wants for me. So I actually trust my dad. That came from experience and time with him. Nothing else. This is bonus. This is teaching and guiding to support my relationship with my father. That's what this is. Coming together in fellowship, having teaching and guidings and sharing. It's like, yes, man, we feel the presence of the Spirit. Brother Wayne gets up and he starts singing and having us sing, encouraging and supporting us. Oh, that felt good. That feels wrapped in. I'm supported and affirmed. That's good stuff. But it's not where I get my identity. It's not where I get my worth. It's bonus.
Come on.
When we receive that and we're intimate with God, I can go to him and say, you know, Father, thank you so much for this opportunity today, but I don't know what to do with it. Mm-hmm. Believe it or not, I'm actually talking about a letter that Paul wrote to us in Philippians. Rejoice. I say it again, rejoice in the Lord always. Let your gentleness be evident to everyone that the Lord is near. Don't be anxious about anything.
Come on.
But in everything, by prayer, petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the God of peace, which transcends and goes far beyond anything I can understand, guards our hearts and mind in Christ. Absolutely. I had no idea what in the world that meant before that intimacy began. I would read this and it was just words on a page. When I became still, when I embraced that there is a Creator who loves me as His Son and cherishes me and sees me as beloved and wants more for me, but will never, ever, ever spiritually rape me. He will never force His love upon me. He will never make me do what He wants for me. He won't do it. He loves me too much. He will never force my will and break it to Him. He loves me too much. He gives me the opportunity to fall down, and He's right there to pick me up. He gives me the opportunity to run, and He runs with me. He carries me, but He'll never make me run. He'll never make me do it. He loves me too much. Is that an identity that I want to rest in?
Yes.
Is that an identity that you want to rest in? Being built into a spiritual house, a royal priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices. Sacrifice. What does that mean in our world? Man, it means I get to love somebody. That's what it means. I get to love you. That's a sacrifice. It's horrible, isn't it? Terrible, ain't it? Submit. Submit my rights. I had somebody recently call me a wasp. Who knows what that is? Say it again.
White Anglo-Saxon Protestant.
I had to look it up. Wasp, I'm a redneck. What do you mean wasp? And they were serious. Like, what does that mean? Is that bad? What do I know? It was great. And it was kind of funny. Do you know that to be called a Christian was also a derogatory remark? Did you guys know that? Oh, you're a Christian. Ugh. Nasty. Wow. Absolutely. This stuff kills me. Recognizing that I'm being, somebody's going to say something derogatory, used to, like, I would puff up like a peacock. They even looked at me wrong. Now it's, oh my God, I understand. I am so sorry. Because they don't know what it means. They really don't know what submissiveness means. See, I used to have the right to be mad, right? Looked at me wrong? Please, I'll bite you in the face. Now, you two are in trouble. Now, somebody derogatory comes at me. Oh my gosh, I hurt for them. That's pretty submissive. That's sweet. That's not, and I promise you, none of this is on me. All of this is on Him. Every bit of this. And you can look through and you can see the ones who are still in that battle. We've accepted the love of God, but we haven't rested in His love. Sometimes I forget. I do. Sometimes I really do. And I get really anxious and I get up in my head and I try to control and fix. And then all of a sudden I'm exhausted. I'm like, God, I did it again, didn't I? Wow. Oh. Okay. And just that acknowledgement, man, I'm good.
Amen.
Just that acknowledgement. I take it to Him. I'm good. But I didn't understand that before. Am I going to experience trials in life? Am I going to experience hardships? Am I going to experience challenges beyond my control? Are things going to happen that are above my pay grade? Do I ever, ever, ever have to fear? No. Do I ever truly have to stay in an anxious state? No. I really don't. My struggle as a Christian was horrible because I never rested in my identity, which is His truth and His love for me. I'm sharing that with you because that is my prayer for every single one of you. And whenever those struggles, those challenges, those tribulations, those trials, that garbage comes at you, that you stand firm and you embrace them with love and with openness. Can I show you what I mean physically? Can I borrow you? You're gorgeous. This is a big man. Tom, look at Tom's face. He's like, yeah. This, in a street situation, would have been ugly. I'd be bribing him with chicken wings, sweet tea. But the reality of it is, in life, when we see something, whether it's financial, whether it's conflict, whether it's somebody not embracing me or responding the way that we should, what we see is a wall that's overpowering us. And emotionally, we respond to that. But when I rest in my identity, when any of us, every single one of us, rest in that truth that we are children, beloved, that He knitted us in our mother's wombs, that He knew our names before time as we know it began, knows every hair on our face. He's good, you like that. That truth, that promises, that essence, that presence, I can stand firm in any adversity, resting and embracing, knowing that that trial, knowing that that adversity is just refining me. It's pulling out the dross, the imperfections. It's bringing them to the surface so I can take it to my brothers and say, wow, I'm still responding like an idiot. You ever do that? Oh, thank God. Okay. I'm not alone. I don't want to live in shame. Mm-hmm. You see, whenever I think I'm the only one feeling it, I'm in a state of shame. I'm still separated from my Father. But if I rest, you face me for a second. I could take your hands and put them on my chest just like Miss Shannon did. Oh, I could climb him like a jungle gym. But when I rest, and that push begins, go ahead, it's okay. Go ahead. No, it's all right. No, really, it's okay. No, it's okay, go ahead. When that push begins, I can stand so firmly. And what's beautiful is I don't face just one trial at a time, do I? Tom, can I borrow you? You guys are scaring me. Actually, Tom, you know what? I like to meet my things head on. Can you stand behind my brother for a second?
Stay behind him?
Stand right behind him.
Oh, yeah.
Put your hands right on the back of his shoulders. And that same push begins, and that same rest. Give me a hug. All right, gentlemen, thank you. Give them a hand. Now, out of curiosity, did I look like I was pushing as hard as them? Did I? Maybe? I don't know. It's a trick. They didn't know what was happening. He knew. Tom, I think, had seen that once before. Thank you, Dwayne. I rested. It's called rooting. I root in my foundation. It's built on rock. It's built on truth. It's built on reality. It's not built on fantasy. It's not built on myself. It's not built on anything that man can possibly even begin to conceive. It is built on the love and the presence and the essence of my Heavenly Father.
Come on.
That's the foundation that I stand on. I learned to do it physically. I have rested and been taught the Holy Spirit. What is that? The presence of the Holy Spirit. My Father will send a comforter, a teacher in my name, a counselor in my name. And He will teach you everything and remind you of everything that I have said. He loves you that much. You are that precious. So when you leave here today and we fellowship, remember your identity. That you are loved, that you are precious, you are created with intention, with purpose, with love. That you are cherished beyond your own imagination. And that you are more powerful than anything that this world could ever throw at you. Thank every single one of you for being here today, for letting me hang out with you today. I love you guys.